Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We have a brand new start to the show. If you've been listening previously with Gabrielle Starr, our friend, and both Lauren and I had appeared on the podcast before, and it was really fun and a great podcast that Gabrielle did, and so we're taking it over. You have new hosts today, and we like to think that you're in good hands. I'm Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald, and my co-host is Lauren Campbell from Nesson, and we're taking over this podcast. We're going to do it every day. We're going to try to bring some great Red Sox insight, and we wanted to tell you a little bit about us. And Lauren, why don't you go first and kind of introduce yourself?
Yeah, of course. So like Jason said, my name is Lauren Campbell. I work for Nesson. I've been there a little over 3 years now. I cover the four major Boston sports and also covering the NWHL, WNBA. So we do a little bit of everything over there. So we're having a ton of fun. We're really busy right now. And prior to that, I was with CLNS Media covering the Red Sox and the Bruins. So all in all, I've been at this for a little over 6 years. And it's been a lot of fun. Every stop I've made has just made me a better writer, given me more confidence in my writing, and has given me the confidence to host and co-host and appear on podcasts. I never thought that would be something I would do. And a few years later, here I am making appearances, and now we have our podcast together.
So where did you go to college?
I went to Framingham State University. I graduated in 2015 and did a lot of, my major was English journalism, so ton of journalism classes, writing classes, and I was the sports editor of the Gate Post student newspaper there.
And you grew up around here, so you're kind of a fan of the teams too, so that's got to be hard.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought, you know, growing up, I did not want to cover, you know, Boston sports because I didn't want to take my bias out of it, but then, you know, getting older, I did want to be in the Boston market, and then just kind of, you know, learning through college courses, covering the teams at Framingham State, and then even with CLNS, that helped me really remove the bias from it and kind of see it from more of a reporting perspective and not always jumping to the conclusion that one of the Boston teams is always better than their opponent, because sometimes you just have to admit that the teams aren't that great. So, and that's rare in Boston cases, but that's been probably the hardest part, is trying to take the bias out of it, because I still have times when I'm just like, nah, you guys are wrong. Boston's better.
Of course. Of course. Of course. And I think hopefully I'll be able to keep you honest in that. And you could keep me honest when I get too negative, which happens sometimes, because I'm not from here. I grew up in Rochester, New York. I came to Boston in 2006 to go to Northeastern University and majored in business there, actually. And I thought I was going to work for the Red Sox front office and become the next general manager, and then realized that wasn't going to happen and started working for the school newspaper. And I've been covering sports now for 12 years and covering the Red Sox for about 10 or 11 years. Just a quick note, today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. So if you download the Spotify Green Room app, you can find one of our lockdown rooms. It's really cool. Check that out. Today we're going to talk about we got a few topics on our list here. We're going to talk about the Red Sox bullpen, which it seems like every trade deadline, whenever the Red Sox are good, we're talking about the Red Sox bullpen. We're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, because there's been some interesting comments coming out of the Red Sox about Ohtani and something that happened on the field last night. Or rather Monday night now, that we're going to get into that I think we both have some opinions on. And then we're going to get into a little bit of what we wrote today. We have some unpopular opinions and end the show on a positive note. So let's start with the Red Sox bullpen, Lauren. What were you thinking watching this game, and what have your thoughts been just overall on the Red Sox bullpen? How comfortable are you when the game gets to the end of the game?
I'm comfortable when Matt Barnes is in the closing role and trying to save the game. Obviously, I understand Monday night, he's been overused, not overused, but he's been used frequently, and you want to rest him when possible. I, much like you, thought this game was over when Ohtani stepped to the plate, because this is exactly the situation the Angels want. They want Ohtani at the plate, you know, representing the game-winning run, or at least having the tying run in scoring position on base, and it's everything the Angels could have wanted. And Ottavino, as good as he's been lately, I don't trust him in a closing role against one of MLB's hottest players, the one who leads the league in home runs, I had every reason to believe Ohtani was going to blast one out of Angel Stadium and walk the game off. But
and it was close. He almost did.
I was very tired, but I was like, I'm not going to fall asleep in a 5-4 game with Ohtani at the plate. Like, who does that?
It was great theater.
It was. It really, really was. But overall, the bullpen has pleasantly surprised me. In the beginning, it was shaky. Josh Taylor had a lot of question marks around him. Even Ottavino had a lot of question marks around him. I don't think anyone expected Matt Barnes to be the closer that he is. I think that's probably one of the biggest surprises coming out of the bullpen. But overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to say like high 7s or an 8 that I'm confident in them.
Okay.
I mean, it's really just Matt Andrees that I'm just like very, very like, oh dear.
Anti-Andrees.
Yeah. Yes.
No question. They're not, you know, they have some guys in the bullpen that you don't trust. So Monday night, he gets behind 3-1. And he says, I'm going to just throw Ohtani my best pitch. My best pitch is my slider. Everybody knows that. That's what Ottavino does. He throws a lot of sliders and fastballs. He hangs the slider right over the middle of the plate. I mean, I don't know how Ohtani missed it. He just missed it. He got on top of it, ropes it to right field, right into the shift. Red Sox win. I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little worried about this bullpen. I think it's been better than expected. But if you look at some of the numbers here, Matt Barnes is 10 out of 14 in his last 14 save opportunities. He's got a 3.5 ERA since May 16th. We know about the sticky stuff is no longer being used. We know the spin rates in the Red Sox bullpen have gone down over the last couple weeks. Matt Barnes has not done this before. This is his first year doing this. And yeah, he was so good early in the year. But his whole mantra was just be aggressive. Just throw strikes. Throw a lot of strikes. And eventually the league kind of starts to figure that out. And they're going to be a little bit more aggressive. And you know, he's given up a few big home runs in the last few weeks. When we get to October, do you think Matt Barnes is still closing games for this team?
I do. I don't have any reason to believe right now, even, you know, despite what you just said, 10 out of 14, 3.5 ERA. Despite that, I still think he's going to be the guy they go to in October. I think he's just overall been so clutch, and he's come in situations where, you know, that's one run, it's two runs, and he's gotten out of it. It hasn't been easy. I mean, he puts men on base, yes, and, you know, get your heart rate up a little bit, gets the blood pressure a little too high for anyone's liking, but he comes in and he does his job. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the Red Sox have been missing, especially last year, and he's got it. I think that unless something drastically happens or he gets injured, he's going to be closing in October.
I think he's fine. You know, he's obviously the first month of the season, he was incredible. Really the best we've ever seen him. Since then, I think he's come back to earth a little bit. I worry about how he's going to adapt later in the year as it becomes pretty obvious what he's been doing, which is just pounding the strike zone, not getting guys to chase, just kind of, here it is, hit it, and they haven't been hitting it. It worries me a little bit. I also wonder who else they're going to get at the trade deadline. Now, there's an interesting report today from Buster Olney at ESPN that we're going to get to in a second. But first, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join the conversation. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL sports. So go to download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all the iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Red Sox room is live. So download the Green Room app today. So back to Buster Olney's report. He mentioned to a high-ranking MLB executive that the Red Sox might be a natural landing spot for Craig Kimbrel. The executive pushed back and speculated that Kimbrel's destination will come down to either the Astros or the Athletics. Kimbrel will be the most coveted player in the trade market. Craig Kimbrel, wow, has it been a while since we heard that name. Craig Kimbrel's an all-star this year, believe it or not. I had to look this up. I didn't realize how good he was. I mean, the last 2 years he had an ERA over 5 for the Chicago Cubs, which is kind of what I thought was going to happen. I think a lot of us did when he left Boston, because by the end of that 2018 season, he wasn't even the closer anymore. Chris Sale closed out the final game of the World Series, and Kimbrel, they just didn't trust this guy. He signs a big deal over in Chicago. Total disappointment. comes back this year and is lights out. 0.56 ERA, 53 strikeouts in 30 innings. What if the Red Sox go get Craig Kimbrel? Do you think this is possible?
I do think it's possible. I know that, you know, the executive said his preferred landing spots, but, you know, I think that he enjoyed his time in Boston. He obviously did a lot of good things here. He was likable. I think the fans loved him. I think he brought a type of intensity that was missed and that is needed on all teams. And I like the idea of bringing him back. I mean, why wouldn't I? I think he, like I said, he came in clutch so many times. He's an incredible closer.
But if he comes back, who's the closer?
I still think it's Matt Barnes. Then you have your setup guy.
So Craig Kimbrel, who's never been a setup guy before.
Absolutely.
He's a closer. He's a Hall of Fame closer. It's like bringing Trevor Hoffman in and saying you're pitching the eighth.
Yes, do it. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm so all
that's
in
what you're
that.
Going with.
Get rid of Matt Andrews. Craig Kimbrel, come here.
Craig Kimbrel's going to be the setup man. I don't know about that. I think he's got a specific mentality. There was even stories in Boston the 3 years we covered him here where he was terrible in non-save situations. He was only good in save situations. And it was like there was something in his DNA of an athlete that when it came down to the final part of the game, if the game was on the line, he was good. If it wasn't to close out the game, he wasn't good. And that happened pretty consistently over his career in Boston, and I have serious doubts that he would be he would handle a setup role acceptably and without fight, because Matt Barnes has not given up this job. I mean, they're not going to bring Craig Kimbrel over here and say, okay, Matt Barnes, you've been the most valuable reliever in the American League for the first 3 months of the season. You're an all-star. You're the best closer in the league right now. Can you pitch the eighth?
That's no, just not going to happen. I think Craig Kimbrel, I mean, you make good points. I think Kimbrel, too, is one who really performs well under pressure and when needs to go in there and get the job done. I mean, that's what a closer's job is, right? You're performing under pressure regardless of the save opportunity. So, I mean, I like being bold. I like being out there and just, you know, doing crazy things. But at the same time, you don't want to ruin somebody like Craig Kimbrel. You don't want to make your team worse because you have him in a setup role and a role he's not comfortable in. But I like thinking outside the box, so I'm all in on bringing him in as a setup guy for Matt Barnes. Just that 1-2 punch, bam, Red Sox World Series champs.
Wow. All right. I don't know how realistic it is. He's making $16 million this year. It would certainly put the Red Sox over the luxury cap threshold, which, I mean, why not? They're so close to it anyway. They stayed under last year. Right. If you're going to go for it, just go for it. Add Kimbrel, add whoever else you want to add. I think that's the way they're going to go. I just don't see Chaim Bloom giving up good prospects. That's not something he wants to do. He's worked really hard to get more prospects into the system. I can't see him going out and adding players via giving up prospects. I think it's going to be the way of we'll take on money. Just like they got Adam Ottavino, we said we'll take on money. That's the kind of situation I could see Craig Kimbrel actually going to Boston, because how many teams are going to want a guy making $16 million this year? I know he's been really good, but there's not a lot of teams that are going to take on that salary. And he's got a $16 million option for next year that automatically kicks in if he finishes 55 games. That's probably not going to happen. But so it's a rental. I think the Red Sox could be in on him. I think there's a decent chance they go after him. I don't know. They're going to have to talk to their coaching staff and try to figure out, is this the kind of guy who can pitch the eighth inning? Because he's never done it before. And so that would be my big question with Craig Kimbrel. Any closing thoughts on Craig Kimbrel?
Go get him.
Go get him. So let's get to the Shohei Ohtani story, Lauren. You passed this along to me today, and I hadn't seen it on Twitter. And I did not see this coming. Do you want to tell people about it?
Sure. So last night, as you know, or Monday night, as we talked about, Ohtani made the last out of the game. Ottavino got out of the jam, and the Red Sox ended up winning. What apparently was caught on camera, and I didn't see this until Tuesday morning, was that Ottavino, as Ohtani was running through first, the play was ruled out, he yelled, quote-unquote, happy birthday, bitch. And everyone knows it was Ohtani's 27th birthday. So this morning and this afternoon, Twitter was riled up, saying that it was disrespectful of Adam Ottavino to say that to MLB's most electric player. What did Ohtani ever do to Ottavino to deserve this? And people were just getting really, really mad online. And listen, I think I love the intensity. I don't think Ottavino meant it maliciously. This is a league where the bench is clear and punches are thrown and the bullpen has come running in from the outfield to join in on this fiasco. I just think, you know, tempers are high and Ottavino said after the game, he didn't want to get to Ohtani. So his adrenaline was probably through the roof. I have no problem with it. Like I said, I don't think it was disrespectful. There's no real rivalry between this team, between those two players. Just emotions high. The adrenaline's up there. And it just came out. We see it all across sports.
You're absolutely right. I generally have no problem with taunting. It's a bigger question for me is do players like Ohtani? Because you see Ohtani running to first base. I'm watching it right now again. And Ottavino's already taunting him as he's running to first base. Ottavino's waving at him, saying goodbye, game over. And then he screams, happy birthday, bitch. And it's like, okay, all right. Are players doing that to each other on a normal basis? That's not something you see every day. So either Ohtani has done something in this game currently against the Red Sox that have them a little bit upset. I mean, remember he had the big home run. I think it was off Matt Barnes in the previous series this year at the end of the game. So either Ohtani's done something specifically to irritate the Red Sox, or I wonder if players just don't like him. If they're like, here comes this kid from Japan. Oh, he's built up to be this. He's bigger than the game. He's the first two-way player since Babe Ruth. Do you think players just don't like him?
I would really hope that's not the case, because I feel like Ohtani's a very genuine person. I mean, I don't know him at all, but I just feel like he is likable. I don't think I've heard any other stories that he's some sort of menace or that he's not well-liked throughout baseball or even his own locker room or anything. But, I mean, that obviously very well could be the case. Who knows what kind of bad blood that they have outside the ball field. But I would hope, I'm going to choose to believe that that's not the case and that it was just emotions, tense game, and just the emotions just way too high. I just don't know. I like Ohtani. I think he's, maybe they just don't like him because he's polarizing. I don't know.
Maybe, I think it's certainly possible. And, the thing that kind of turned me on to this was before the series started, Alex Cora was asked if Shohei Ohtani was the de facto MVP, which was actually started by JD Martinez, who last week said if he hits 270 and 30 homers and wins 12 games, he should be the MVP, no question. Well, he's not going to win 12 games. He's only got 3 wins unless he goes on a ridiculous run and wins 9 down the stretch. Whatever. It doesn't matter. That's just what JD says. People are going to vote for him anyways. Probably will win the MVP if he continues playing even halfway decent for the rest of the season. So Alex Cora is asked if Ohtani's the MVP. And Cora says, I don't know about that. And he's really hesitating. And he says, I don't know. I don't know about it. And then he goes, he's not the best hitter in the league. And he's not the best pitcher in the league. But overall, if you combine them together, he's the best player. I'll leave it at that. Well, actually, he is the best hitter in the league. He's got 4 home runs more than anybody else in baseball this year. I looked this up yesterday. So let me rewind. So after the game, Cora's again asked about Ohtani, and he goes, I've never seen anything like this. I played in Southern California, 38,000 people in Angel Stadium packed. I've never seen him show up to the ballpark early and stay late. And he goes, it reminds me of when Barry Bonds was doing his thing. So before the game, Ohtani's not even the best hitter in the league. After the game, he's so good he's Barry Bonds. So which one is it? And so if you look at the numbers, actually, Ohtani's got the highest home run rate since Barry Bonds in 04. He's homering 1 per 8.94 at-bats. There's only been 2 players who have done that since Bonds entered the league in 86. That's Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, who have obviously both since admitted to using steroids. So Ohtani's bringing Barry Bonds vibes, and yet Cora won't even say he's the best hitter in the league. You see what I'm saying?
It's so bizarre, because I understand he probably doesn't want to diminish anything that any one of his players are doing, but Ohtani is just so unbelievable in what he's doing this year. And like you said, his home runs speak for themselves. But what I think is funny about when Cora said he's not the best hitter in MLB, I started looking up averages and everything. Ohtani's not even in the top 25 for average. And I know that, batting average, it's not the tell-all stat. I get that. But I just think it's funny that he's leading the league in home runs, but it does not crack the top 25 in average. And, I don't think he's really a hitter who hits for average. I think he hits for power, and we've seen that since he broke into the league a few seasons ago. But, from my standpoint, from my eye test and what I've seen, yeah, I think he is one of the best hitters in MLB. It's funny how Cora will dance around it. And I understand, like I said, you don't want to disrespect anything about your players in a potential MVP race, but as long as Ohtani stays healthy, that award is his.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm trying to think of the last time we've had a player this exciting in baseball. I mean, Mookie Betts was, you know, exciting. When Trout came into the league, it was exciting. But people just don't – they don't show up for Mike Trout. You know, we've debated this forever in baseball. Why is Mike Trout not a bigger star? Right. For whatever reason, they don't seem to care. Maybe A-Rod? You know, maybe Pujols in his prime? Bryce Harper when he first came up? I mean, who comes to mind?
I mean, for me, and it's, you know, it's obviously, you know, Barry Bonds, steroid era. But for me, it was Mark McGwire. I mean, that man was hitting home runs. I have vivid memories of my childhood of just, like, watching Mark McGwire hit home run after home run. And it was just so much fun. No, he wasn't pitching, but the man had no neck and was the size of a house and just blasting home runs. And I was really young at the time. I had no idea what steroids were. I just thought this man was the best baseball player in the entire world. But that's, like, the only person I can really think of that comes to my mind right away, and but hitting-wise. But when you think of doing both, there's nobody.
Of course, yeah, there's nobody who's done both. But you bring up a good point with McGwire being the guy that comes to mind for you because he was hitting all the home runs.
Right.
Right? It's like, what do kids pay attention to? What gets the attention of non-baseball fans? Like, yeah, baseball fans are they're going to look, hey, well, his on-base percentage isn't that good. You know, his defense has been mediocre, whatever. But I'd say the majority of baseball fans are like, wow, there's a home run race? There's a guy who's hitting home runs at a better pace than anyone since McGwire and Bonds? I'm tuning in.
Yep.
You know, this guy's exciting. Maybe not, you know, he's not going to break any records. Who knows? Maybe he could. But I think he's the best player we've seen in a long time. And that's why I just wonder if some, maybe there are teams and players out there just like, you know, forget this guy. He comes over here from Japan. He thinks he's better than everyone. He's doing things that nobody else was allowed to do. And so we're going to say happy birthday to him on his way home. That was a funny story.
No, totally. I mean, too, like, you know, at least, like I said, I don't know Ohtani, but I don't feel like he comes off that he thinks he's better than everyone. But again, maybe the players see a heck of a lot more than we ever will. But I mean, that'd be kind of hilarious if Ottavino came out and was like, yeah, I hate that guy.
Nah, he would probably just say what you said. Spirit of the game. Adrenaline.
Yes.
So, all right. Coming up in our third segment, we're going to talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. made a play that people are talking about and the Red Sox outfield defense. And I'm excited to get your opinion on that. And we've got some unpopular opinions for you. We'll talk about what we've written. But first, let me tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry. I'm not going to read them all. You go to their website. I'm looking at them. They're delicious. So go take a look. There's something for everyone. My favorite flavor is definitely the grasshopper cookie. You got to check that one out. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are they really good tasting, Lauren, but they're healthy too. If you look at the stats on here, I mean, these are all-star stats here. You got 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. I mean, how are you going to get a protein bar with only 4 grams of sugar that actually tastes good? Rare, extremely rare, only 130 calories too. So there's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go order today. Get whatever you like, the raspberry, the mint brownie, whatever it is that you like. Go order at BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your first order. So make sure you punch it in there, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar. Also want to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. They got the baseball odds on there if that's your thing to bet baseball. You can do it at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including baseball, of course. You also can do whatever you want to do, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, golf, the match. It seemed like it was a popular thing to bet on this week was the match. So before the next pitch or whatever it is that you're betting on, go to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. You can do it on your mobile device as well. They got news on there. They got sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance. Get in the game as teams prep for the trade deadline. It's going to be interesting to see which teams are getting those final few wins right before the trade deadline and maybe push their general manager to actually go get some players. So this is a big time. There's a lot of big games you could look at on BetOnline. If you head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up, you'll get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so Jackie Bradley Jr. made one of these plays that we saw him make a million times in Boston. But it seems like the rest of the league is, or at least in the National League, they're like, whoa, what just happened? If you haven't seen it, check it out. You'll find the video on Twitter. Basically, Jackie Bradley did the deke. He deked someone out on a made it look like it was going to be a home run. All of a sudden catches the ball, throws it back to first base, nails the guy at first. It's amazing how many base runners fall for this. It happens at Fenway all the time off the wall when guys just pretend like it's gone and then bounce it off. That bounces off the wall and they throw him out at second. But it just reminded me that the Red Sox haven't really missed Jackie Bradley this year. I think a lot of people thought they would. And you look what's gone on in the outfield, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, do you think they've missed Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I don't. And I don't like saying that because I love Jackie Bradley in the outfield. Who doesn't? But you look at this Red Sox outfield, they have 28 outfield assists. That's almost double digits ahead of the next team. And it's everybody. You know, Kike Hernandez is making assists. Hunter Renfroe has 11 of them. And it's just, they're so much fun to watch. And when Jackie Bradley makes one of these awesome plays that we saw for 8 seasons, it makes you stop and think, like, he's not really missed, because the outfield are making these plays. They're making big plays. They're making game-saving, game-changing plays that Jackie Bradley Jr. made. So even though it's hard to replace that type of defense that he brought, the players have filled that void very, very well, and it's made it easy to forget what Jackie Bradley brought to the Red Sox.
And okay, so you said Hunter Renfroe has 11 outfield assists.
Yes.
The Red Sox lead the majors in outfield assists. I think they have 7 more than anybody else. Jackie Bradley only once in his career had more than 11 outfield assists, and that was in 2016. Oh, nope, sorry, I got that wrong. He also had 13 in 2014. He's had 13 outfield assists in 14 and in 16. I always thought his arm was overrated. I thought the guy had a great arm. I mean, we saw there was a video of him throwing from home plate, throwing it out of the park. No question he had strength. Didn't seem like it was very accurate to me. Like, there was a lot of throws up the line, or they'd bounce 3 times. His final full season in Boston, 2019, he had 10 outfield assists, 9 the year before. So it seems like the Red Sox are carrying on just fine without him. I think where they actually miss him, and you won't believe this because he's having a terrible year offensively, who knows, he'll go on a hot streak and fix it. But they're missing him at the bottom of the order. I mean, if you think about having a guy who has a 700 OPS in the 9th spot in the American League, is actually pretty rare. And I looked it up one day just to see, like, okay, who's got the most home runs ever out of the number 9 spot in baseball? Jackie Bradley's got the second most home runs ever in baseball history out of the 9 spot, because he was always hitting there. And he was pretty good. Like, yeah, we remember him for being streaky and having a lot of bad games and 0 for 4s with 4 strikeouts, but he was a good 9 hitter. The Red Sox haven't had that this year. It's kind of important.
I think that that's a really good point, that, you know, people loved ragging on his offense, but they loved his defense, and that could have been why his defense was highlighted, and maybe why you think it's overrated is because that's all they talked about, when his offense wasn't as bad as the numbers really showed, and he hit well out of that 9 spot. He brought the power from that 9 spot from times. And yes, he was streaky, but he also had really, really strong moments or flashes of greatness and clutch moments that the Red Sox needed. And it's funny that they're missing his offense now, when everyone was like, oh, they're going to regret that because you can't replace that defense. That he covers so much ground in that outfield. Oh, they're going to regret that. And it's like, nope, not even close. But maybe they miss his bat from time to time in that bottom of the order, because that's where you really need your hitters to come through.
Yeah. And again, he's having a bad year. So the point is moot. You know, they were never going to re-sign him. I think that was all for show last year. Oh, we love Jackie, we're not going to trade him. Well, they didn't trade him because they couldn't get anything for him. That's why they didn't trade him. And that's not speculation. That's, you know, I heard that from someone high up in the game. So that's why they couldn't trade him. That's why they hung on to him. They were never going to re-sign him. It's perfectly fine to let him go. I don't think they miss him at all. The interesting thing is what they've been doing at center field, and it's not one player. You know, Hunter Renfroe's played some center field. Alex Verdugo's played some center field. We know Jaron Duran's waiting in AAA, who could play some center field. Kike Hernandez has played a lot of center field now. He was supposed to be signed as a second baseman. So what do you do with center field here the rest of the year?
I think you just keep doing what you're doing. I think that it's working, and I'm a big proponent of, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Don't touch it. Just keep, you know, switching them out. Keep it how it is, because I'm fine. It's working. It's strong. And it makes for fun highlight posts. It makes for fun games, and it makes for a really good story sometimes. So do not do anything different with the outfield going forward.
All right, there you have it. So let's move on to a segment that we call What We Wrote Today. And we're just going to share something that we wrote. I mean, we're writers. That's what we do. So hopefully you'll read our work in the Herald and Nesson.com. But if not, we're going to tell you about it real quick. So, Lauren, what's something that you wrote today?
So I started my day off today writing a very wholesome story about Aroldis Chapman. He has very much struggled since the MLB crackdown on the use of foreign substances. He's been lit up. He's blown save after save, which Red Sox fans probably really, really love to see. So he took to Twitter on Tuesday morning and said, "For all those people that criticize my bad moments, I will tell them that I do not know how my story ends, but in its pages you will never read I gave up. So I'll move on. I still have many wars to win and many mouths to shut up." He's got a lot of people to prove wrong because the Yankees fan base has booed him off the mound. They're a passionate bunch and they are impatient. They should be a good team. They're a terrible team this year. They have one of the most dominant closers in MLB and he stinks without his foreign substance on his glove and his hat, wherever. So just to see him kind of come out and say, "I'm going to tell you all to shut up. I'm going to prove everyone wrong." It doesn't look good in his last three or four save opportunities. If that's going to be the path he keeps going on, like, he's going to end up deleting that tweet. People are probably screenshot it, ready to go, be like, "All takes exposed." So it was just a funny way to start. Cause I was like, man, just ignore the noise. Just pitch. That's all the Yankees fans want you to do is just pitch and close out games.
Yeah. And not shoot anybody. I mean, this is a guy who probably shouldn't be talking. I mean, right. Like he was suspended 5 years ago for firing a gun at his girlfriend, allegedly choking her. This is a guy who should probably just be quiet and be thankful that he's still playing in the big leagues. But that's a good one. Good story. I wrote about Nathan Eovaldi and how I think his contract's actually starting to look like a good contract. I remember when Dave Dombrowski signed him, 4 years, $68 million, people were saying, "What? You know, you just paid Nathan Eovaldi number two starter money." And the first year, obviously, got hurt. Wash, total waste of $17 million in 2019. Last year comes out the Red Sox best pitcher. It didn't matter because they were so bad, but he was absolutely worth whatever prorated version of $17 million he was last year. He was one of the best starters in the American League by a few metrics. This year, he's been the best starter in the American League, according to Fangraphs. Nobody has more war in the American League than Eovaldi. He's been worth 3.2 war. His FIP is 2.55. His ERA is 3.41. He's averaging almost six innings a start. I mean, the Red Sox would be lost without this guy. So $17 million this year, $17 million next year at 32 years old, and then he's done. This might actually end up being a good contract.
It's so funny because Red Sox fans were like, why are you signing this guy to this kind of money? And this is exactly why. Because he, like you said, he's been one of the best pitchers for the Red Sox this season, in a season where Erod really should have stepped up. And he started off really strong, but you have Garrett Richards, who can't pitch to save his life. You have Nick Pivetta, who is dealing, but he doesn't get run support. And Eovaldi, who's been injured, has an injury history, has Tommy John history, is acting like he's this rejuvenated pitcher and that he's never been hurt in his life. He looks amazing, and I just absolutely love what I'm seeing from him this year.
Yeah, and of course he could get hurt at any time. We've seen that often. But so far, I think he might end up being worth the money. We'll see. We have two quick segments left that we're going to call Unpopular Opinions and Ending on a Positive Note. So first, what is your unpopular opinion of the day?
So this probably will not sit well with a lot of Red Sox fans, but at least for the time being, I do not believe that Michael Chavis is an MLB player. He's been bounced around from Worcester to Boston, and that's not his fault. And I'm sure some of his inconsistencies and his lack of plate discipline stem from just not having the consistency of a team. He's back and forth. He's always going to be that person who gets called up, back down, called up, back down. He's kind of, you know, he's the scapegoat, essentially. And I just don't think, even though as much as he's an electric presence, he's obviously well-liked in the clubhouse, he's a great interviewer, he's always answering your questions, he brings the energy, but that just because you have good energy and a good attitude doesn't mean you're a good ball player. And I've been to a few Woo Sox games this year. Sorry, Michael, but I've been to a few Woo Sox games this year, and he is just all over the place at the plate. It is incredibly frustrating. He's swinging at everything, and maybe, like I said, maybe that's just being between between MLB and AAA, and that's totally fine because you need the consistencies to build your confidence, and he probably doesn't have a ton of that right now because he didn't make the roster to begin with, and he's always kind of that plan B person.
Yeah,
but I just don't like. I don't think. I think he has more to give, but I think he's going to end up in AAA for most of his career.
And stay tuned Friday. We're actually having Michael Chavis on the show to defend himself. Friday. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sick.
We do got to get Chavis on, though. That'd be interesting to talk to him. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good point. You know, I'm not sure he's a big leaguer. Time will tell. I think I said to you the other day, he screams to me of a guy who at 29 years old has won 40 home run season in the big leagues. And we're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Right.
Otherwise, maybe a disappointment. Probably look to see him get traded in the next year or two, because they just don't have at-bats for him. So that's a good take. My unpopular opinion, I'll go quick with this one, is Hunter Renfro's not an everyday player and probably should not have been an everyday player. They should have had Jarren Duran up here a month ago. And I know everybody likes Hunter Renfro a lot because his defense has been fantastic in right field, as good as anybody in the game this year in right field, probably the best, at least in the American League. I don't see the National League much, but at least in the American League, I haven't seen anyone better in right field. Crushes lefties. We know he does that. He's not hitting righties. He never has in his entire career. He's got a 680 OPS against him this year, pretty much in line with his career. He doesn't do much damage against righties. He strikes out a lot. He doesn't get on base. He's not very good against right-handed hitters and never has been. So Jarren Duran, to me, should have been up here a month ago. You know, the reviews on his defense are fantastic. He's made a lot of progress in center field. He's got 15 homers in 41 games. You know, he's hitting .284. He's got a .380 on base percentage. I don't understand why they're waiting so long. They're taking the patient approach with Jarren Duran, but to me, he should have been up here a long time ago and probably will be up here soon.
And it gets to a point where Hunter Renfro would just be a liability at some point, where it's like, why is this guy in the lineup? And then people will turn on him and be very angry at Cora that he's still in the lineup.
Probably. All right, but we're going to end the show on a positive note after our two unpopular opinions. Do you have something positive for us today, Lauren?
I do, and it's Josh Taylor is one scoreless appearance away from tying Koji's scoreless appearance record, which was 2013, I believe, with 27 scoreless appearances. And if you told me that this was going to be Josh Taylor's record to reach, I would have laughed in your face. So I love being proven wrong. Josh Taylor has been an absolute delight, and I hope he gets it. I hope he throws 100 scoreless appearances.
That would be a story, 100. Wow, okay. My one good thing for today is the Red Sox are playing a lot of one-run games lately. They have 6 of their last 8 games have been one-run games, and they're 5-1 in those run-run games. And this goes back to a constant theme of this season, which is they aren't the most talented team on the field on most nights. I really believe that. The pitching staff doesn't have a whole lot of talent on this team. Yeah, they have a great heart of the order. But otherwise, this team is not the most talented team on the field on most nights, and they win anyways. And these are one-run games where their bullpen's blowing it, and they have to come back, and they keep winning over and over again. So I'm still not totally sure I'm buying this team as the favorite in the American League. I think there's a lot of questions that I'm sure we'll talk about all summer long. But right now, they're winning the close games, and that goes a long way.
It absolutely does.
So that's it for us today. We hope you reach out to us if you want to get a hold of us. You can follow us on Twitter. If you Google us, Jason Mastronato of the Boston Herald, and Lauren Campbell of Nesson, you'll find our Twitter handles. Please find our show wherever you get podcasts and leave us a review. Subscribe. We really appreciate it. We're trying to get some feedback, see what you like, what you don't like. So stick around. We got another show coming up on Thursday. We got another show coming up on Friday. My dog Millie's going to keep barking at all of them. And have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.